Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. My name is Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And today I am very excited to introduce Miss Madison McClenning. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Good. So, full circle. Mm-hmm. It was a couple years ago. We were working together guiding. I think we were doing some summer prep. And we started talking about hunting podcasts. And the idea that we should do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be a cool idea.
And here we are. Uh-huh. So thank you. You're a big reason that we're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of motivation there. So that being said, how you been?
Good. I've been teaching.
How's that going?
Oh, it's going.
What grade is it?
Third through fifth grade, special education.
That's awesome. Behavior room. Oh, I bet you're great at that.
Yeah. I try my best. I do what I can.
Right? It certainly didn't have an impact on your turkey season this year.
Mm-mm. Nope. I had a great season.
Yeah.
Killed my first bird since 2020.
Awesome.
So it's been 5 years for me. I think it's been 7 or 8 years since Sid had killed one. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's get an idea. How exactly did you get into hunting and you know, a little bit of that early on life of what, mm-hmm. what your upbringing was like?
Well, so both of my parents hunted growing up. I mean, for as long as I can remember, they were taking us, Sydney and I both, turkey hunting with them. Like, as a baby, they'd take us, we'd sit in the blind, all four of us. We called it the Princess Palace, and we'd sit in there, and I remember, like, I'd just sleep the whole time, whenever I was real little. One time I remember, I'll never forget it, I was so sick, I don't know, I had the stomach bug or something, mm-hmm. We went out, and we were sitting in there, and I was throwing up inside the blind, and they didn't want to leave, like, we stuck it out with turkey hunting, and they doubled up that morning as I was in there yakking. So
nice.
Yeah. So that, and I mean, she'd carry me, my mom would carry me mushroom hunting, like, as a baby. Like, I remember I was like 6 months old and they'd have me sitting up next to a pile of mushrooms. And
that's awesome.
So yeah. And then I started, let's see, I was, I think 10 when I got my first shotgun.
Okay.
And so immediately after that, I got it for Christmas. Immediately after that, I took the hunter safety course, started deer hunting. I think the year after that, I got gifted my first compound bow.
Okay.
For Christmas. And immediately after that, started going to the Wolf Run bow shoots.
All right.
And Sydney and I were both into that. We did that with my mom. My dad never really was a big bow hunter, but we... deer hunting was what we started on. And I just remember that was like the highlight of my childhood. Like, I don't know if it was a thing for other places, because I got to thinking, I'm like, you know what? I don't think that, like, Jacksonville School District, where I'm teaching at now, I don't think that they do this. But I remember, like, we would get our shotgun tags, and if we took our tags into the office at school, we'd get excused. But, like, do other places do that, or is that just a Green County thing?
I don't know. Growing up in Michigan a long time ago, they did do the first day of shotgun season, no school. So yeah. November 15th.
So they started doing that. Yeah, they would just have it off. But
okay.
Before that, it was you take your tags in, and it'd be excused. You didn't have to show up. And
well,
so
it's
I would
important.
Never, yeah, I'd never go to school during shotgun season. And that was just, it was deer camp. I mean, there was probably my parents and all of their friends that hunted, and they'd bring all their kids and take them. There was probably 20 people or so.
Okay.
And it was, yeah, That's just what I look forward to every year. No one could wait for deer season to come around.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And
so you grew up on a farm, right?
Right.
Okay. And a lot of like row crop, corn, bean production, mm-hmm. stuff yep. like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any animals?
Cattle.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad had about 100 head.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice. So you were
He had hogs, but that was before I was born, so I don't know anything about those. But, but yeah. Cattle.
All right.
Beef,
so you
farmer.
You were born into this outdoors lifestyle and just the pure enjoyment is kind of got stay power. It stayed with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then through it, you seem to have established like a really special bond with your sister.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so turkey hunting, which Sydney and I deer hunt together too, but my mom would take us turkey hunting. The three of us would go every year. And like, even after my parents got divorced when I was 11 years old, and she asked my dad, like, is it still okay if I take the girls? And he's like, yeah, of course. So she'd still take us out, cause she didn't have anywhere else to go. So she asked him for permission to go out there, and we would go, and, she taught us everything we knew, you know, when to call, when not to call, what call to use, you know. And the first time we went without her was in 2020. Sydney and I went on a hunt, the two of us, and she was doing the calling. I had the gun. And so we'll swap back and forth. Like, if I killed the last bird, then, you know, the next time we go, I'm calling, she's holding the gun.
Okay.
And if we happen to have two come in, then we'll double up. But so that she called my bird in 2020 and shot it, and we just couldn't wait. Got my mom on the phone immediately, and she was working down the road. And so she got out there within like 10 minutes, and it was, I don't know, just a great feeling to do that, the two of us, you know.
That is priceless.
Yeah.
Okay. So she called in your first bird,
mm-hmm.
and then, I'd imagine the next hunt was next year or later season. How does this keep going? 2020 was yours.
Yeah. And then, so 2020 was the last one I killed, and the last one that she just killed was this season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was a really cool hunt. That was her and her new fiance and
Ooh,
I
okay.
were out there together. And yeah, it was really cool. So we got third and fourth season tags this year, and we went third season. We had them gobbling, you know, all around us, but we never did get a shot at any. And kind of just were chasing them around, trying to call one across the creek. That didn't go as planned.
Right, yet.
And so fourth season came around, we went and called her bird in off the roost. We could hear it. We couldn't see it, but we could hear it fly down into the field to our left.
Okay.
And we had another one gobbling right to our right. Well, shortly after he flew down, the one to our left, the one to our right flew down in the field. And so we're sitting there. It's Sydney. Phil was in the middle, her fiance, and I was on the right. And they, both of them, could see the bird to our right out strutting in the field with a hen. And we knew that the one to our left was already down in the field. And so we're sitting there waiting, not doing any calling, because we know, like, they see the decoys, they're coming. Less is more, I've learned, when you're turkey hunting. You don't need to be doing all that extra stuff. If they know you're there, they're coming. And so they're watching the bird to our right, and I'm just sitting there looking at nothing because I can't see anything from where I'm at. And we both have a gun, trying to double up. And so here come this one from our left, and Phil saw it. Sydney's had already situated her body towards the right, waiting for that other one to come in. And he's like, "Bird, Sid, right in front of you, there's a bird." And he's already walking past her, almost to our decoys by the time she sees it. And so she adjusts her body back the other way. And of course, ideally, she would have waited and that other one would have came in. He would have messed around in the decoys. We could have doubled up, but that's not how it went down. She shot that one and I've never seen her run so fast in my life. Sprinted across that field. Yeah, it was great. And we had a concert that night. So we went to Charlie Crockett in Springfield. And so the next morning, I'm like, I'm going no matter what. Like, I don't care if we get home at 2 a.m. I'm getting up and I'm going. Like, I'll go by myself. You don't have to go with me. I didn't think, since she shot a bird that morning, I thought, you know, I was probably going to be going by myself. Well,
right.
My boyfriend, Tim, got up and decided he was going to go with me. So we went on May the 4th, and the morning after, she shot her bird. And sure enough, we sat in the same spot. And the bird that had been strutting to our right in that field was roosted in the same spot, gobbling on the roost. They're gobbling all around us. And so he flies down in the field. Tim could actually see him walking back and forth on the branch, gobbling in the tree. That's how, I mean, not even 100 yards away, right? So we're sitting in this tree line, and he's right across the field, and the tree line right across from us.
Really?
Yes. And so he can see him walking back and forth and gobbling, because we got in there dark enough, you know.
Yeah.
Walked basically right in front of him where he was roosted, but across the field. So we were able to get in there and get set up and get the decoys set up without, you know, disturbing anything. And so he flies down and sure enough comes straight to the decoys, and I shoot. He takes off running. I'm like, oh no. So I shoot again, right? As he's like, and he takes flight and goes right back into the woods where he was roosted. And I'm just, you know, defeated. I'm like, I just missed him. Like, what just happened? My whole day's ruined. Like, I'm contemplating my whole life as a hunter. And and Tim's like, you know, relax. Like, you hit him, because that second shot, you could see the feathers fly off of him. And he's like, you might have a dead bird. Like, you hit that bird. And I'm like, well, not in the head. Not well enough. Like,
right.
I was so upset. And so we go and we peek out to our left, and there's a big tom strutting in the field to our left, like, 200-300 yards away with a couple hens. And I'm like, I think, you know, we need to go get set up on that bird, because I just messed up with that one. I just missed him. And he's like, no, well, not, it would have been 2 minutes and it sounded like a bird fell out of the tree and crashed on the ground. And I'm like, I look at him and I'm like, that sounded like that bird just fell out of the tree. And he's like, I think you have a dead bird. Like, we need to go look for that bird. And I'm like, still in disbelief. I'm like, that, I know what I heard. I know what that sounded
right.
like, but I don't think so. I'm like, all right, before we go get set up on another bird and shoot another bird, yeah, let's go look. And sure enough, there he was.
No
there.
Doubt.
Yeah. I don't know if he got back in that same tree he was roosted in, but it was a thud. Like, you could hear him fall out of the tree onto the ground. And
oh,
that's where
God.
We found him. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Because it's tough. Like, when you can shoot them, and turkey's the hardest thing to find, because it's like, are you going to be able to blood trail it?
Yeah, I know. It was, I couldn't believe it.
That's so cool.
I would have never thought, like, just like, well, we'll get him next time. He's done. I missed him, but no.
He's
on my wall now.
Yeah, that, nice, nice. What? That was a big bird.
Yeah. Pretty big.
I mean, it had a nice beard.
I mean, yeah.
Pretty good
Sydney's
spurs.
Sydney's was a nice beard. It was a paintbrush.
Okay.
But yeah, hers was a little bit bigger than mine, but I'm still happy with mine.
I wouldn't expect you to miss, because I remember calling in that honker and just you dusting it. And
I
looked
know.
At you. I will never think of you like the same after that shot. We guided all season together. We're out there. Called in that honker, it comes in and just folded it. And that was a shot. I mean, the way that the birds were working, it was out there. You dusted that thing. And I mean, I knew you were the real deal, but I didn't. Like, that was a shot. So
yeah,
I wouldn't expect that you missed a turkey.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
That was my first honker too. I'm still waiting on that mount to.
Really?
That's, yeah.
Okay.
It should be done soon.
Because
I kept
phenomenal.
It in the freezer for a year, you know, and finally got it there. And
okay,
so
yeah.
I'm waiting on it. But.
Well, so you've done a lot of a decent amount of duck and goose hunting, right? Primarily duck hunting?
Primarily, yeah. More so in high school. I did a lot of that with my Uncle Jeff.
Oh, okay. All right.
Next to the river.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Dove hunting. I did that with him too, but.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a minute. We're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple. Kill big deer. Returning, Maddie McClenning, turkey hunting extraordinaire. Maddie, so we talked a lot about turkey hunting, and... You know, I think something that's really special is your family orientation and the memories that you have with your family, but even more so the time you spent with your sister in the turkey woods. You know, that's got to be an incredible, I guess, bond that you two share. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about, like, you know, how that time spent, what it's meant to you, and kind of, I'd imagine y'all solve the world's problems together during those times.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fun for us, you know. It's like, obviously we want to kill a bird and we want to have a successful hunt, but it is successful just being there, you know, getting to spend that time with her and connecting with her. I mean, that's something we look forward to year round is turkey season. I mean, she'll deer hunt with me too, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, but it's turkey's more our thing.
Yeah.
And after turkey season, I mean, we can't wait to go frogging. That's our next thing that comes up. And it's just, I mean, like I said, my mom taught us everything we know about turkey hunting. And so we kind of look forward to sharing, you know, our hunts with her and mm-hmm. like, you know, retelling the hunt and showing her pictures and videos. Like, that's something we look forward to almost even more so than the hunt, you know?
Yeah.
It's just good to make those memories and something I'll have forever. So, and then hopefully one day we'll get to take our kids with us and we'll just keep doing that, you know?
Right.
I mean, like I said, she's got a new fiance. She's going to be getting married next summer, but
awesome.
He's not taking her away from me in that sense. He's not taking my hunting partner.
That's incredible.
Something we'll do forever. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about. You can shoot turkeys, deer till you're blue in the face, but if, you know, it's not a memory being made.
Yeah.
You know, it's just food on the table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you came to work for Monarch Rivers a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was, crazy how it all came together. We were up at the, was that the Morgan County Fair?
It was in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're standing around and Lauren says to me, you know, you ought to have guide this year. I go, who's that? She pointed over to, you know, cute little blonde over there with her concert outfit on. And I was like, wait, what? And she goes, yeah, that's Maddie McClennick. She's a hardcore hunter. I was like, all right. She's like, you want me to introduce you? I said, yeah. So we come over and then that's where I met you.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, awesome. We've had girl guides before. It worked out great. You know, you were interested. You were like, heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up talking. You came down and kind of showed you around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in.
Yeah.
You were game. What about it? What about the prospect of guiding hunters was attractive to you?
Well, so yeah, back to, you know, us meeting and Lauren coming up to me and she's like, hey, like, you know, I haven't seen you in such a long time. How are you? How have you been? And I'm like, oh, I've been great. Just graduated college. I just graduated that May. This was July and was still searching for jobs, applying for jobs, you know, in the ag industry, looking for something, anything really, mm-hmm. and all dead ends. And she's like, you know, you should really meet my boyfriend. He's looking for a hunting guide. I know you're big into hunting. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds great. Sure, let's meet him. And of course, you and I got along great. It was, I mean, we feel like we hit it off from the start. And you showed me the farms and I was in from the start. I mean, you didn't have to do any convincing for me. I was a little skeptical about it. You know, I'm like, now, I mean, I don't know anything about guiding. I don't know. I don't record my hunts. I don't do any of that. Like, I just go out there and hunt. Like, that's all I know. And you're like, oh, no, you don't need to worry about any of that. And so one thing that I would say is I loved it. I enjoyed every bit of it. A lot of real late nights and real early mornings.
Yes.
So it could be exhausting, but it's definitely worth it, you know, when it's rewarding when you take someone out and they have a successful hunt, whether they harvest an animal or not. I mean, that makes it even better if they do, but it's just, and I think the thing I love the most was just like meeting new people that come from all over the country to, mm-hmm. It really made me appreciate like being from a small town, being from, you know, the Midwest and Illinois, like appreciating the big deer that we have here and that people want to come to where we live to hunt and do these things. And like, I'm showing them the ropes. It's just like, man, I, you know, sometimes you take for granted where you come from. And that's what I love the most about it.
For sure. For sure. You didn't need very much instruction.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your eye on the ball. You knew where you were going. You knew the important parts of accessing, you know, mm-hmm. and natural people skills. It was an absolute home run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really enjoyed that. What were some of your, you know, more favorite moments, like, you know, highlights of that season? That would have been the 2023 season.
Uh-huh. Oh, where do I start? I mean, getting to meet Luke and guide with Luke.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, he's a great guy. And I really enjoyed that, talking to him. We had, I think, you know, that day I had just got a brand new F-150
uh-huh.
and had a plastic skid plate underneath there and had been taking it through cornfields and ripped the skid plate off. Yeah. And you're like, we got to do something about that. So I think you ordered me a skid plate and a heavy duty one. And we put that on, you, Luke, and I. And mm-hmm. Who helped us? Who was that? What's his name? You know.
Not right now. Who described them? Was it a hunter?
No. Not a hunter.
Local guy in Calhoun?
Yeah, local guy. Oh, whatever.
I don't know. My brain doesn't work that good when it's recalling the stuff.
I wish I could remember his name.
Well, we got you squared away. You
got
to be able to drive that pretty truck to cornfield.
Uh-huh.
And then you came back last year to help out on the gun season.
Mm-hmm.
And you smoked a deer on your way in or out?
On my way home. Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible.
I mean, first time back since, the season before.
Yeah.
Helping out and, smoked a deer on my way home. Still haven't got my bumper fixed.
I tried to take care of you on that one too a little bit.
Yeah. But
so it was, we missed you last year, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you in the springtime you got into some substitute teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So that was spring of 24. Mm-hmm. And then that extended into like a maternity contract.
Yep. And that extended into a year's contract.
Yeah. Awesome.
For teaching special education.
Okay. And so you're going back next year?
I'm going back. But don't count me out. I mean, I wouldn't say that I won't be back.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll do some gun season stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Over Christmas break, I'll have a lot of free time.
Okay.
So.
What are some of the things that you learned through that experience? Like hunting-wise.
A lot. I mean, the big thing I would say, you talking about the wind and, playing the wind. Like, growing up, I didn't do that. I just went and got in the stand. Like, and you're like, no, this is really important. And I'm like, no, it's not. I've killed a lot of deer, and I never once looked at the wind, but I think I was just getting lucky, And you talking about thermals, I'm like, what is this guy talking about? this is just foreign language to me. Like, I just go out there and I don't worry about any of that stuff. But now, I will not go sit in a stand without looking at the wind, you know? Like, it is crucial. And I just learned a lot from you. And I learned a lot of what not to do from, hunters that they're inexperienced. They don't know. I mean, and we're supposed to teach them and show them, what to do, and just listening to their stories about, being busted. And it's like, okay, now we know for next time. This is what we need to change. This is what we got to do to make it happen.
Right.
So
I'm going to get a t-shirt made. It's like my life quote. It takes a thing to make a thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So somewhere along the lines, someone was successful doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that apply to every situation or every similar situation moving forward? Typically not.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of people, especially around here, where there's big deer, every farm's unique, certain features, mm-hmm. a lot of people can identify a good spot. And sometimes going into that spot, regardless of the wind, will produce positive outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think there's anything wrong with, maybe somebody that's listening like, hey, I don't hunt the wind. Well, you probably have a spot that you can get away with it. Mm-hmm. Or you're eventually going to sit there and say, why am I not seeing anything?
Right.
Something's either changed or,
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember during that first season that I started guiding for you, I was going... I had a free day away from you, and was going to go sit in the stand myself on my 40 acres. And my sister, I asked her if she'd go with me, and she's like, yeah, let's go in the morning. Let's go sit this stand. And I was like, whoa, did you look at the wind? And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, we cannot sit that stand. Our wind's going to be blowing right at them. And she's like, so? Like, let's go. Like, we know there's deer there. You have them on your camera every single day. I'm like, Sydney, listen, I hunt the wind now. We can't be doing that.
I love that. That's good. Something that you talked about that I think a lot of people, unless they've done it, might not be aware of it. But when you're taking hunters out, you get so many more reps. You mm-hmm. might not actually be the one sitting in that stand, mm-hmm. but each one of their sets is mm-hmm. a rep. And so in terms of deer movement or, you know, particular deer activity, you know, it creates so much a platform for more experience. Like you're able to consume more experience or have more experiences overall, which, you know, hopefully we all learn from when we get those opportunities in life. But I think that's one of the unique perspectives as a guide mm-hmm. that, you know, others might not have.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So, anything change in terms of like your favorite times to hunt or anything like that?
I think I became more of an evening hunter.
Okay. All right.
I would say, I mean, unless we're talking peak rut, then be out there all day. But I don't know. It seemed like, you know, taking people out, it was always, mornings were always slow. Not always, but, you know, evenings, it just seemed like there was a lot more action and movement in the evenings, whether it was rut or not. Okay. I mean, just overall. So I still like to get up and get out there in the mornings, but I would say I'm more of an evening hunter.
Yeah, nobody could ever accuse you of not being a morning person.
I know.
You get up at 3:30 in the morning mm-hmm. to do that?
Yep.
And always on time?
Yep. I had an hour drive every morning.
Oh, God bless you. That's awesome. Yeah. Did you have like, did any, perspective change? You know, we're here in a local environment. Local is important. I grew up in Michigan, so, you know, I've been either accepted by local people or they mm-hmm. might not care for me and that's none of my business. But mm-hmm. you living here locally and seeing out of state or non-resident hunters coming in, did that have any, you know, did you change your perspective or did it reinforce any thoughts or beliefs that you had?
I mean, just kind of, like I said, just really made me appreciate, you know, being from here. And I get that opportunity to hunt big deer and all the time. I mean, obviously you got to have a place to go first and foremost, but I live here. I don't have to travel across the country to go kill a big deer.
Right.
And I mean, that's something that really gets taken for granted. And, just, yeah, I think that that's the main thing. Just really made me appreciate that more.
Yeah. We always hear like nightmare stories about, you know, guys come in, lease mm-hmm. ground and stuff mm-hmm. like that, might not be good stewards of the land or might have, you know, an attitude that's less than desirable. I pay all this money. I should be able to but I think that you'd back me up on this. A majority of the people that come in are just great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, very respectful. And, you know, you're big on, I don't want you shooting a deer under 4 years old. You know, we're looking for mature bucks. And I think that almost all of your hunters, like, they're going to respect what you tell them and do whatever whatever advice you give them, they're going to follow because they want the best experience they can get. They want to kill a big deer and they want to be able to come back and mm-hmm. keep doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's talk about some other hunting experiences that you got.
Okay.
You've done a little hunting and fishing on the travel.
Mm-hmm. A little.
Yeah. Tell us a little about that.
About what? I mean,
well, you've done a little hog hunting, right?
A little hog hunting with my Uncle Jeff.
Okay.
And I started, I think, in high school. He took us once to Florida. I didn't even know there were wild hogs in Florida.
Right.
we went hog hunting, and actually to the same place that I would, yeah, been.
Exactly.
And what was that place called? Like two guys and a hog?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So that was an experience.
Yes.
We went down there for that. And then after we got done hog hunting, we went deep sea fishing. And I think that was my first time deep sea fishing. I've been three times now. I get very seasick.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's a love-hate relationship. Like, I love reeling in those big fish, but I'm throwing up the whole time. I mean, but I'm a good sport about it. I'll throw up, reel in a fish, throw up, reel in a fish. But we did that. We were fishing for amberjack and triggerfish.
Okay.
And caught a 5-foot shark.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was that
like? Took all of us to reel it in, but, really? You know, took probably an hour to get it in.
Okay.
And they pull it on the boat and they shoot it. And that's what they do with all of them.
With a gun?
Mm-hmm.
How do they not put a hole in the boat?
I don't know. But
that's wild. What kind of shark was it? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
The kind with teeth.
Did you
net it to get it? How did you get it in? It's a 5-footer. There's no net for that.
I don't remember how. If they just grabbed it.
Okay.
I don't really remember.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And I was trying to get Sydney to stick her head in its mouth.
Oh.
No. Yeah. It was cool.
I thought you loved your sister.
Oh, I do. Sometimes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then Texas hog hunting. We've been twice to Texas.
Okay.
Yep.
And then what are you shooting with?
30-06.
Oh, nice. That's a lot of bang stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not the best shot with a rifle. I mean, give me a shotgun and I'm comfortable. Rifle? Right. Sydney's a better shot than I am with a rifle, I will say.
All right.
But it's fun. It's real fun.
Yeah. My only experience was at the place in Florida, and it was, I mean, you can't put a price on those memories.
Yeah, no.
I was down in Tallahassee. I was at a hunting show. I've got some cousins in Tallahassee. I don't even remember what part of Florida the hunting show was in, but I went hang out with some cousins. It was near my birthday. It was my cousin Parker's birthday. And he had just kind of a lot of things going on in his life. And we're sitting having a couple beers like at the campus bars at Florida State and just hanging out. And he's not a hunter. I wanted to shock his system and give him some confidence moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I started Googling. I found this spot where we went at him with the knives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to do that, they had to call these dog catchers. And I mean, these guys were awesome, but it was the type of thing where when you met them, you were like, heard banjos playing. You were like, what did I get us into? Either way, it worked perfectly. He was scared out of his mind. He got it done. And I mean, weeks later, he sent me a picture. He's still wearing the hat from that place. And, you know, it was just such an important time to me. But like
I don't think you told me you did it that way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you could pay me to do
that. It's, I mean.
Those things are mean.
Yes. But you got these, they're catch dogs and they catch it and they're holding it there. And
until they're not.
Yeah. Well, I made him go first because I thought if I went first that he wasn't going to go.
Uh-huh.
And then, so he went first. And then once it was my turn, I was like, let's go. And so the dogs caught the hog and I ran over there. I was the first one there. And I didn't want to wait for the people to get there. I knew that's what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we can catch you a bigger one. I was like, this is my hog. So that hog didn't have a chance. It didn't have a chance. So, all right. Well, we're going to take a minute and we're going to do another break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And with us, we have an absolute outdoors sensation, Maddie McClenning. Dude, so not often do you meet people randomly like we met have or share a passion for outdoors. Turkey, deer, hogs, fishing, you name it. Something that we haven't talked about that is absolutely one of my favorite things. You've had a chance, and I tell people from the area all the time, you got to try this. You've had the chance to fish Lake Michigan, big lake fishing. You, Wisconsin?
Kenosha.
Okay.
Yes. 2 years ago.
Okay.
With my Uncle Jeff and sister. I think it was a July trip. We were fishing for king salmon and coho and lake trout.
Yes.
And it was great. I mean, I felt like I was on the ocean. Those waves, like, it was, I'm like, oh, we're going to be on a lake. It's a lake.
Yes.
It is. Those waves were crazy. And so, of course, I was throwing up the whole time, but I still.
That's why I brought this up. I just wanted you to talk about throwing up again.
But, I mean, I still reeled in some big fish.
Oh, yeah.
It was a blast. I mean, that was a workout, reeling those fish in. And I know you've done it a lot.
It's a unique privilege. My grandfather had a boat. So growing up, by the time we moved to Michigan, I think fifth grade through probably junior high. A lot of weekends spent on the big lake catching fish.
I know that's your happy place. It's a blast. I mean, aside from the deer stand, that's you talk about that a lot.
How often do you get to reel in a freshwater salmon? You know, that is anywhere from, I mean, 10 pounders, a nice fish, any freshwater fish, 10 pounders, nice, up to, you know, 30, 35 pound. And just the boat, the motor, because you're trolling and you're kind of going as slow as the boat can go. So as you're trolling and the waves are going up, you got that blop, 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 like the sound of the exhaust coming out. There's just not many.
It's an experience. Like, you can talk about it all you want, but until you experience it, like, you don't know. It's a different kind of, I would say, peace, but if you get motion sick like I do, it might not be as peaceful, but it is.
So a tip, I went to a fish camp in Guatemala. It's the rest in peace, David Salazar. A guy is an absolute fishing legend. Like, what he built in Guatemala, I don't know if it can be duplicated. But he made a recommendation to a buddy of mine that went down, also get seasick. I'm going to say it wrong because I think it's going to sound like a drug, but there's like a vertigo medication called, I want to say like mescaline or something like that. There's also like a street drug called mescaline. So don't get the wrong one. This one you get from CVS or whatever, but apparently that is the deal. So if you get super seasick, you should look into that. It's whatever the actual.
Why didn't you tell me that before I went?
Well, I didn't know that you got seasick until now.
I mean, I've tried the patches, you know, behind the ear.
Okay. The bracelet.
I haven't tried that.
Oh, okay. Go for the
patches and the some type of pill, not that.
Okay. Yeah, they sell like a seasick pill.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this and vertigo medicine.
What do they say?
The
drink ginger, ginger ale.
Yeah. Settles your stomach.
Not for me.
Okay. No. Well, I mean.
So maybe that'll work for me.
I think the ginger ale is a post throw up thing. All right. So a little bit further on that is you typically will want to get with a captain that's got a boat, because there's downriggers and outriggers, and there's a lot of ways you're pulling multiple lines behind a boat. So there's some expertise and some learning curve. It's not something you want to take on for yourself the first time. But when you hook one of these things, it's like deep sea fishing.
Oh yeah.
But it's almost in the neighborhood. I mean, it's what, 4 hour drive to the Kenosha from here?
Yeah.
It's right there.
4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 6-7 hours to like Grand Haven, Michigan. You know, there's several port towns south of there. Mm-hmm. And then, as the season goes on, the fish kind of migrate following the bait fish. Mm-hmm. And so the bite goes further north as you get into like your August and later August, mm-hmm. September, but it's unreal.
Yeah.
It's my absolute favorite.
We're going to have to go together sometime.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's rock it. All right. Well, so, you know, going back to the original inspiration of the pod, mm-hmm. you had some questions you want to ask me.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Just a couple here.
Okay.
So, Brody, your son.
Yes.
He is, what, just a little over a year now,
right? Yeah, 14 months.
Right. And so I just want to ask you, talking about thinking about the future of hunting, I guess. So when he is old enough to start hunting and you're taking him with you along on all these adventures, how do you think that things are going to differ in the future by the time he's old enough? And I mean, how do you plan to, I guess, get him involved in it and keep him motivated and, you know, wanting to do it if he's not having the best of luck? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
So this year, turkey season, you got to show him a dead tom. Mm-hmm. And you know, you just see the gears turning, you know, the curiosity, you know, you want to get, I try to get the senses in there. You want them to touch the feathers, mm-hmm. you know, and just try and point. I don't think he really comprehended, like, this is a beard, these are spur, you know, but mm-hmm. just pet the bird type thing. And I've been taking him around the house, looking at different mounts. Mm-hmm. And he's learning buck right now. Uh-huh. And he's petting the bucks that are on the wall. I'm a little leery of shed antlers because I don't want him to poke himself. He's 14 mm-hmm. months and mm-hmm. whatever. But I think about that a lot. And I think what's going to be important is shadowing. Mm-hmm. Right. I think by shadowing and not having the expectation of him being the shooter, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to teach him some patience. It's going to teach him that it's not him if we don't see an animal, mm-hmm. you know, that it just happens. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by shadowing, he'll kind of get to learn a little bit before he gets put into play. Mm-hmm. And then the third part that I have thought about is, he's got his mom's physique. He is got the, you know, athletic, you know, I didn't know that Lauren still holds a high school record in track. Lauren's dad still holds a high school record in track. And Lauren's brother still holds a
football, record. Right?
Track.
Oh, really?
Like, it was either discus or shot put. Mm. So, if he wants to be, you know, he's going to be able to.
He'll be an athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important that, you know, we give him space and the ability to make his own decisions. Mm-hmm. As it relates to the outdoors, my concern is I don't want him to follow in my footsteps so much in the beginning that life is hunting, mm-hmm. and have that take away from his opportunity to be an athlete.
Right.
You know, I was an athlete growing up, and in a weird way, by guiding and outfitting and hunting in this area that's so full of resources, in a sense, I got to behave like an athlete in certain regards. But I want him to, I don't want him missing practice because he wants to go hunting. You know, I don't want him missing school because there's, you know, a lot that needs to be learned, obviously, in school. But that hot summer day of football practice, embracing the suck, like, these are all critical elements to living a active, happy, productive life, is understanding, you know, it might not be good right now, but it will be. And you have to put one foot in front of the other. So I think about that a lot. And that's, you know, that's kind of how I envision his future of hunting. And hopefully with lots of big bucks, lots of big turkeys, you know.
Do you see him taking an interest in outfitting, you know, kind of following in your footsteps?
You know, I don't know. There are certain aspects to it that I think offer tremendous growth. But then, you know, it's gotta be his thing. And it's got to be something that would be, you know, sustainable, and something that, you know, first and foremost, who knows what the, you know, atmosphere for hunting in Illinois is going to be 10 years down the road, you know?
Exactly.
So we'll see. We'll see what he likes. And, you know, he surprisingly, at 14 months, he thinks a lot. You can see his little gears turning, and he's just trying to figure out how something works. Or you can see him kind of calculating a plan in his head. And I'm sure that's really normal for a lot of, you know, children his age. But there might be some of that's like his personality. So if, you know, Mother Nature is fickle, there's no bigger challenge than trying to compete against Mother Nature. So if that draws him, he might be hooked, you know, especially being around all the good people and all the aspects of hunting and seeing multiple, you know, big bucks go down. He's probably screwed.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Well, that is about all the time we have for today. Thank you for encouraging me to do this.
Yeah.
And thank you for joining.
I'm glad that you did. I'm glad you invited me on.
Yeah. We're going to have to do it again.
Yeah. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, appreciate you.